right. Now the item everybody's been waiting for. Item 8, consideration of the 2025 CICERA budget. Henry, good morning.
Exciting fire drill. Here's another exciting presentation item. And I hope I'll keep you the same excitement. What we have for you today is a two-part presentation. One includes the actual proposed budget that we're asking for consideration for next year. The second is a budget status report of what's happening this year. This year, we have a presentation there that's through the third quarter, January through September. And it's always good to see how the budget is occurring, what are we spending against it, you know, and if there's any unforeseens or things are falling in order. So having said that, let's go over to page 4, and I will advance. That's this guy. There's a lot of information, a lot of line items here. This is the format that we use when we prepare the audit report. So it's very handy-dandy. The auditors take a look at it. It's very business-friendly. It's very commonly used in the industry. But we have a lot of line items. The part that we want to focus on for right now is the green side over on the left-hand side. That is the third quarter budget status report. And so if I can draw your attention down to the bottom line, down at CICERA expenses, the 2024 budget was $20.54 million in terms of the year. We've spent against it $14.7 million, which leaves a percentage of 28%. So if you think in terms of the auto fuel tank, you know, you've used three quarters, you should have a quarter left. So 28% is a pretty good indicator that you are doing a good job of estimating. And I'm proud about that because I work closely with all our cost centers, our department managers, the retirement services team, member services, the IT folks, investments. We have exact, they do some compliance section there. The great team over in accounting, you know, I take a look at that. And we also have our legal department. So all those cost centers go into play, and that's how we estimate. And so this is a good indicator at 28% is telling us that our budget was a very good plan. There's some things that are missing because at the third quarter, invoices are tardy, or maybe we've got some things. You might see some that are blank, like benefit statements. I haven't gotten the benefit statements invoice from Siegel, so it's blank. But if it did, it would improve that 28%. So that's what's happening over on the green left side. That's the budget versus actual. We take that table and we learn from it, and that's what we use to estimate our projection for next year. That's over on the right-hand side. That's the blue shade, and that's what we're asking for your consideration today is CICERA's total annual budget for next year. Follows the same line items. You have some increases, some decreases, things of that nature. But the grand total, if I can draw your attention to the bottom on the blue side, the budget that we're asking, the proposed budget for consideration, totals $22.548 million, which is about a 10% increase over last year. We can go through what the 10% is about, and I'll gladly go through. Quick pause at this point. Any questions about the process?
Mike?
Yes, Mike. Under professional services,
we started with $19,800 for the beginning of the budget, but next year it's going to $52,700. What's the big change there?
In that section, professional services, you're just focusing on legal? Your question is on legal?
It says other professional services.
Oh, there's a study that's occurring. We're going to do a study on our strategic plan. So we have some money dedicated for that, our mission statement.
Okay, but I see that we were well overspent in that, and I was just wondering what happened that wasn't planned.
Some of those costs started arriving before the end of the year, and you're going to carry over into next year. So it's just a matter of timing.
Okay.
sometimes to get the work started, you know, get best price, we'll record it there. So that's what that is about there. Any others?
Yeah. Ernie, the on the personnel services, salaries and wages up by 9% against last year's budget, but employee benefits and retirement down 7%. Guess I wouldn't expect to see that. What underlies the benefits and retirement?
Absolutely. That's a good question. That's a good parable. You know, some of it does follow, but there's other expense line items in the benefits and retirement that aren't tied to the wages line on the top. The wages are going up of normal negotiated pay increases. The good thing is that all our planned vacancies are fully staffed. We have the right people, the right team. There is one investment officer that we plan to fill towards the end of next year. That's the only vacancy. But the increase there is tied to negotiated pay increases. But the decrease over on the benefit side, the contribution rates went down for CSERA, the amount of money that the employer pitches in. And so that's what part of the decrease is. And also the money that we pitch in for the OPEB trust, the retiree health funding, that also decreased. And so that explains why that guy is going down.
Changes.
Correct. Okay. Correct. There was also a little piece, too, before we separated from the county. There was some retiree health that we reimburse and pay for at the county. That's a limited pool of individuals there, and as time goes, that pool shrinks, and so the costs are decreasing there. You know, it could be change in plan, change in selection, things of that nature. So that's the parts that doesn't tie to the other one. So one can go up and one's going down, but that overall. In the salaries and wages, we do have a little bit, you know, for some overtime, some temp possibilities, you know, we'll get into. We have a pension system that's going to launch imminently. And so we're prepared for that. And we'll talk about what that launch does to the budget here later on. Anything else?
And that decreased employer contribution, that's just, are we expecting that to be a one-time blip?
That's tied to the valuation. That's tied to the valuation. When the valuation comes out and they crank out the contribution rates.
No, I'm just wondering if it had anything to do with the amortization layering adjustment we had talked about.
It touches it. It touches a little bit. And that could be some of it. I could do another study on that one. But I want to sit with my good friends at Siegel to do that.
But I can tell you, we do 5-year projection letters that we get from Siegel. And after the valuation, kind of looking at where we're trending, and rates are trending downward. So we would at least now expect to see that again next year. But until we see it, we don't like to say it's for sure.
Right. This is where it's changing. If it's the same next year, it'll be flat. You won't see it stand out like it is. But that's why this one went down.
All right, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Of a pension system, IT has like 38% increased budget.
Yes. Now we're going to get into our favorite topic. We are expecting, as I mentioned, a new pension system, and what that means, I think I've brought it in the last couple budgets, you know, the impact. When you get a new system, it's an asset that's going to kick in. Once it goes live, the accounting rules allow you to spread that cost, depreciate it over time. The industry average on an asset of this type is 10 years, and that's the going bigger, you know. Yes, we might have it for 20 years, 30 years, but we have to go with the figure. It's almost borrowing the same idea from Siegel, the spreading, the smoothing. Wish we can go 18 years, but, you know, 10 years is it. So that's tested. So the way that works is that once it goes live, the costs that you've accumulated so far begin getting spread over 10 years. And so that's what translates into depreciation going up significantly. It's the biggest increase of the 10% that we're asking. But the other cost, Dennis, that is a good question, is supporting maintenance, cloud, software related to making sure that it's running smooth. Son and his team have put together, and I sat down with him quite a bit, going through all the expenses connected with that. There's also some data services. Tim, he's using more outside data services, and that's a piece of that increase there for investment needs. Any others? Okay. Well, moving on over to our next slide, we touched on some of this. I want to keep to my promise, concise and brief. This chart here tells us visually, Mike, you know, to help, where the biggest increases are. And the bars are basically the same line items from all the detail on the preceding page. The biggest one there you see on the far right is asset depreciation, 31%. That's the biggest chunk. And as you go along, as you pointed out, Dennis, IT systems alongside personnel services we spoke of, the negotiated pay increases. Professional services is also there. That's your consultants, your actuaries, the auditors, attorneys, the disability reviews. That's also important for us. And so we have set up for next year on that. We want to make sure that disability moves along nicely and swiftly. So the total budget includes what's called administrative and non-administrative costs. The administrative side is the ones that are subject to that ceiling limit that CERL requires. 21 basis points of the most recent actuarial accrued liability is what they say by law you shouldn't spend. The last valuation gave us an actuarial accrued liability of $12.4 billion, which when you multiply 21 basis points against that, tells you that you can have a limit of 26.1. The bottom graph, the pie chart, that's the budget broken down in total admin and non-admin. You can see the non-admin, the darker slice, is only at 6.3 or about 0.13 basis points, about half. So we're well under the statutory limit. But I just want the board to take a look that the total pie is a mixture of admin and non-admin, and this visually tells you what it is there. How about this? Any questions here?
I think you already answered it, but my head cold is causing me to be about 3 minutes behind.
Oh.
So distinguish, if you would, the IT systems increase from the asset depreciation. I understand the depreciation is 10-year straight line on the system, right? So that's largely accounting driven. Is that fair?
Correct.
All right. So what's the IT system cost?
That's maintenance and support. That's non-asset related. The purchase price of the actual software is what you can entitled to depreciate. But supporting it, training cost of it, project consulting, things of that nature are immediate, and you expense as you receive the invoice. So it's almost taking care of, like, call it the maintenance of the vehicle versus the actual purchase price of the vehicle.
And so this is going to be essentially the new baseline for operating the pension administration system. Is that accurate?
Could be. You know, we have yet to launch it. We have some ideas on what it's going to cost. Use, there's negotiation that occurs when we actually, you know, purchase it. But right now, this is our best guess. So 10 years down the road, we fully depreciate it. That cost drops off.
Right.
But you'll have maintenance and support continue.
All right. Thank you.
Henry, I'm recalling that we're something like $13 million, and I assume $13 is a combination of equipment and front-end customizing?
Correct.
And so we're looking at $1.3 million, then broadly, obviously, as one-tenth annually.
Good point, John. Let's move on to our next slide. This is the capital budget. The capital budget is sort of a sub-budget of the main total proposed. Basically, this speaks of depreciation. So on the top table is precisely the point that John was bringing. what are our contracts that we have outstanding? We have an ICON contract. We have a contract with Sagitech. And they total up right now 14.7, which is the first column. Costs paid through September, because it's third quarter. I mean, we that might have changed a little bit, is we paid 6.2, almost 6.3 in terms of hard cash against it. And that leaves a remaining contract balance of 8.4. Assuming that we go live, the last column is percentage remaining, you know, of the contract just for illustration. Assuming we go live and we pay every contract cost, John, as you were saying, the total value would be 14.7. Divide that by 10, it's approximately 1.4 per year. And that's what's going on in the bottom schedule there. This is the depreciation that shows up in the main budget line. You have the new pension system, and we're assuming that 2025 is when it's going to go ring live, and that'll be the first year. One-tenth that year, one-tenth the next, so on and so forth.
I hadn't turned over to the last page.
But your question was timely. I thought you were a great student. You lined it up for me. Thank you so much. That was a nice one. How about this one? Any questions going on here?
I think there's an error. Because 8 million is not 86% of 14, so
I'm glad there's math competency on there because there is an error, and thank you for noticing that 86 should be 57. I think somehow the formula was trying to add it or something, and I just witnessed it. And on my sheet, it's bright red, but thank you for noticing, Dennis, you saw that. So what that means is that it's not 86, it's that 57% of our contracts have been is percent remaining. It doesn't tie to completion. That's an entirely different science. It just means of the contract, how much have we paid out?
So, Henry, when we buy a new pension system and the amount is 14.7 million, so are we actually making payments on that, or do we pay for it all at once and then depreciate it or smooth it over time with respect to
it? We're making partial payments towards it. We're okay. Hanging on to a piece, retention, warranty. So we are making payments. You know, the vendor says, I've done this much so far. We all analyze it. Christina does a good job. Jasmine, they take a look. Yep, you forgot to this part. That's what that column is, cost paid. It accumulates on our books as undepreciated. So the minute it goes live, then those costs get spread. Right.
Okay, but if we buy a software package for $10 million, do we pay for that all up front? We pay them the $10 million, or do we say, well, we're going to pay you $1 million a year for the next 10 years?
Well, if you were buying a software package and it was on the shelf, ready to go, chances are you'd be paying for it all up front.
Okay, so you wouldn't depreciate that over time?
You would. It behaves the same
way. For accounting purposes.
For accounting purposes, because okay. It's an asset, and it prescribes to that 10-year rule. But if they're customizing, designing, as they are this one, there's progression payment. They call them progress payments.
Okay.
We said, and we analyzed each one. It's like, yes, you're up to this point. You know, they might say, well, we've done this much, and we might say, no, not really. Okay, vice versa, something like that. Okay. That's an entirely different conversation, but for the purposes of our discussion here, this is what depreciation is. The reason I bring it up is because it does make it to the budget, and it's the majority of the increase. When I mentioned back the 10%, this is the biggest part. Now, what drives this is when we go live. Actually, that's what's going to drive it when we start depreciating. But we're being prudent, and we're picking it up now. Okay. As promised, concise, brief, that concludes. I just want to wrap up that this presentation is the budget that we're asking for your consideration. We're proposing $22 million. But I always like to point out that earlier, my investments team did a good job of talking about fees. So the fees are running about $50 million a year. We have 22 here. That should give the board an idea of what it takes to run the organization, exclusive of benefits. Okay? That's what it takes to run the place. Not a statutory limit. That is just for the administrative sides of the cost of the plans. Yeah. Well, any other questions? If not, that concludes. It was a pleasure. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did.
All right. Thank you, Henry. I don't see any other hands up.
Okay.
Take a vote.
So what is... what is the pleasure? Item 8, this is an action item, so we'll need a motion to approve the budget if that's the will of the board. All right, we have a motion and a second to approve the budget. Any further discussion or questions on the item? Not seeing any. So let's vote on the motion. Anderson.
Aye.
Chabadarev.
Aye.
Gordon. Aye. Holcomb.
Aye.
Kroll.
Aye.
McDonald.
Aye.
Mirzwa.
Aye.
Phillips.
Aye.
And Wong.
Aye.
All right, the motion carries 9-0 to approve the budget. Thank you, Henry. Got you walking around money for a year. All right.